This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted to be with you today. We so love spending this time with you. We certainly do. We love to have that holy conversation. We love to see what the Holy Spirit has in mind for us. We love to enter deeply into the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady as we get started with our programs. And we certainly do open our phone lines to you. And so we invite you to give us a call today. And I'm going to give you that toll-free number that you can use if you are in North America. It is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here in North America. Again, as we love having that holy conversation with you. We're also available for you out there in social media land. And we've got Jeff Burson, who's grabbing all of those comments that you make and getting them up here so that we can have that holy chat. And the way in which you do that is just to get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. We're with you only on YouTube today. So get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel so we can see what God is doing in your life, and you can share all about that with all of our listeners today. Guess where I am? You are not going to believe it. I am all the way north. I am about as far north as you can get and stay in this country. I mean, I am up here really, really far. It is -7 where I am. Now, that could be just, you know, a great big little old question to put out there to you. Where in the world is Johnette Williams today? But I'm going to tell you, I am up here in Fargo, North Dakota, and I am so excited to be here. I am sitting in the studio of Real Presence Radio. I can't believe it. It makes me just giddy with joy to be part of this great opportunity to proclaim the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ coming from these beautiful studios who do so much to encourage and build up and edify the body of Christ at this moment in the history of man when we need all of the help that we can get. So hats off to all of the good people here at Real Presence Radio. I am here because after the program is over, I'm going to be giving a talk to the pro-life committee here in the diocese. But then after that, this evening, I am going to be at a beautiful banquet that is going to be held here for Real Presence Radio. And they are expecting a huge crowd of people. I understand that they've got 1,000 people registered for this event. And it just makes me giddy with joy to be among so many wonderful individuals who help to keep Catholic Radio on the air. Now, you know, I am always touting Catholic Radio. You know that because it's so near and dear to my heart, and I am absolutely convinced that this is one of the ways, I would say it might even be a premier way in which God wants to deliver the good news to his people today. God's given us this technology so that we can go out to all parts of the world, to every nook and cranny that he's existed, and proclaim his marvelous deeds and works. And so I am encouraging you to support your affiliates. I don't know where you're located. I don't know how you're receiving us. If you're hearing us over the airwaves, because good men and women have put their heart and their mind and their soul and oftentimes their money into making these broadcasts available to you, then I would have you support that affiliate indeed. And here we are in North Dakota. So all of you that are listening to us from this region, I am encouraging you, continue to support Real Presence Radio. We're going to be talking about that and so much more this evening. You know, the Lord has been prevailing. Oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit is so good. He is always, is always about the business of communicating with us and to us, always illuminating our hearts and our minds. And I just know he's got a beautiful, powerful message that's going to be coming tonight right there in the banquet hall. So I want you to get out to Real Presence Radio's website, yourcatholicradiostation.com, yourcatholicradiostation.com. And I invite you to check out all of the good news about what Real Presence Radio does. But additionally, I want you to check out this evening. I don't know if you can still come or not, but I'm just going to extend an invitation and say, give it a try and see what happens, right? It's going to be a beautiful time in the Lord. So we're excited to be here, and I'm always excited to be with you right here on Catholic Radio. Jeff Burson is going to be joining me on air today. He's going to be helping me to take your calls. So I'm going to say good morning to him. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, Johnette.
How you doing?
Wonderful, always.
We were talking about Alabama. It's not raining there, finally.
The only one day of this week where it's not supposed to be raining.
Well, there you have it. So up here, it's sunny, it's bright, it's beautiful. I'm looking at glistening snow. It's like a winter wonderland. I just feel all caught up in it, which is a beautiful thing.
Enjoy it. I don't think you'll get that down here in Alabama.
Well, You know, once a year, this is good. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. We have Michael Birchfield on the phone answering today. He's in for Ryan Penny. So be sure to say howdy hey to him. And we're all excited about that. I've been just caught up lately in my time of prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate more to my heart and my mind the great treasure that we have in Our Lady. And I am absolutely convinced, and y'all know this already, but I'm absolutely convinced that she's the key. I mean, she is the key. This is the time of Our Blessed Lady. And as I go back and, I study more and I read more and I seek more to enter deeply into her Immaculate Heart, I discover many things. And one of the great things that I discovered was that, I'm a big St. Louis girl. I certainly am. But I've become introduced to Blessed Chaminade, William Joseph Chaminade. I believe I'm pronouncing his name right. If I'm not, please forgive me. But he's the founder of the Society of Mary, also known as the Marianists. And it was interesting to me to discover this, and maybe it'll be interesting to you too. I really don't know. But St. Louis de Montfort, who was preaching to us there in the 18th century, and Chaminade, who came shortly thereafter him, I mean, really shortly, they kind of overlapped in time, was preaching too. And they were preaching the same message, but from what I understand, they didn't know each other. Now, see, that to me is a real indication of the action of the Holy Spirit, that He's laying upon the hearts and the minds of His people a similar message. And when that message is proclaimed, it ignites in the hearts of individuals and great things happen. And we see that both in the life of St. Louis de Montfort, and we see it in the life of Blessed William Chaminade. And I think that what they were being entrusted with at that time is coming to find its fulfillment in our day and time. I really believe that that's the case. And, Father Chaminade was talking about the fact that this was the beginning. We were in the age of Mary. And he went on and he began to cite all of the reasons why he believed that. And then again, when we look at this time in which we're living, we see that age of Mary has continued, that there's been these reported apparitions of Our Blessed Lady, that there's been a return of interest in Our Lady, and we see that there's been also a resurgence of what both Louis de Montfort and Blessed Chaminade were all about, and that was consecration to Jesus through Mary. The interesting thing about Father Chaminade and St. Louis again is that they came up with this quite on their own. And in other words, it didn't spark from a conversation that they had. And I think it's a Holy Spirit thing. And so, I've always been encouraging us toward this consecration. I've been talking about it a whole lot on Catholic radio in the last several weeks because it's so much on my heart and my mind. And I can only share with you what's on my heart and my mind, right? And so the fact of the matter is, I just want to really encourage you, really, really, really encourage you. If you haven't taken that step, I want you to prayerfully consider taking that step because to me, I think that this is the powerhouse of evangelization today, the powerhouse way in which we are going to engage the world. I think it's the powerhouse way in which we are going to see the fullness of truth bursting upon the horizon right here in this our day and time. More when we come back from our break. Stay with us. Johnette Williams here.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I am delighted to be with you today. I am on remote tour here. I am up in North Dakota, in Fargo, to be specific, at Real Presence Radio. I'm in their studios today. They're beautiful studios, by the way. I just commend everybody. Nice and bright and sunny and beautiful. Absolutely lovely right here in Fargo, North Dakota today. I'm here because of Real Presence Radio's a beautiful banquet this evening that's going to be held right here in Fargo. Looking forward to being with all of the good people there and hoping that you, if you're in this area, are going to join us there. Please do come up to me. Let me know that you listen, obviously, to Real Presence Radio, but that you listen to Women of Grace carried by Real Presence Radio. We just commend them for all of the good work that they do. They've got over 20 stations now. That's really incredible. All because of the fiat. We'd like to talk about the fiat on Women of Grace and You know, when we give fiat to the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes and he fertilizes that fiat and things are produced. Good things come from it, right? And so here we are. You start with one station and pretty soon you have a network of stations. So we encourage all of you, if you have any inclination, if the Holy Spirit's prevailing upon you in any way to start a Catholic radio station, you can just email jackwilliams@ewtn.com. It's jwilliams@ewtn.com, jwilliams@ewtn.com. You can email me too, but you're going to email me at womenofgrace@ewtn.com. Your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement, always welcome that way, and we will get those up on the air for you. Ryan Penny is back in the saddle, I understand, so we welcome you back, Ryan. Good to have you with us today. And we are eager to get to the phone lines. I understand we've got some calls. We've got some YouTube questions. We're available to you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel today, so get on out there, use the chat feature, get your questions and your comments up there. Jeff will get them up so that we can talk about those right here on radio. Also, 2-833-288-EWTN is toll-free for you right here. In North America, it's 833-288-3986. Out of the country, country code 1-205-271-2985. Well, Jeff, who do we have and what's going on?
Right now, we're still screening the phone calls right now. Ryan's doing a great job, but we do have a couple of people on YouTube. Barbara weighed in and said that she wears the scapula, but she went to ask her priest to perform the ceremony with her, and he didn't know what to do and had to Google it in her presence. And she thought that was strange. She says that she is devoting her heart to the Blessed Mother, but she's having scary dreams and wants us to pray for her.
Okay. Well, thank you. And Barbara, yeah, let's talk about this just for a moment. You know, the scapular is one of the great treasures of the church. And oftentimes, you know, we look at these things and we don't take the devotion deep enough. And when we put the scapular on, we're really making proclamations. Number one, we look at this scapular as a mini garment, right? You know, a religious person, if they wear habit, will have a scapular in the front. And that is the long piece of cloth that actually goes over the tunic that is underneath, and it goes to the back and it goes to the front. And so when we put the scapular on, we're basically putting on a tunic. Now, whose tunic are we putting on? We're putting on the tunic of Our Lady. And what we're saying is, I want to live in Our Blessed Lady. I want to live through Our Blessed Lady. I want to do everything for Our Blessed Lady. I want to imitate Our Blessed Lady. I almost hate to use that word imitate because there's something just in the sense of it that sounds kind of like a false notion. You know, like we've got imitation leather, we've got imitation fur, you know, we've got imitation china. But here, when we're talking about imitation, it means that I want to live in the person of. You know, when we say I want to imitate Christ, it means I want to live in the person of Christ Jesus. I want his person to live in me. And so it is with the scapular. We're making a proclamation that we want to live according to the Marian character. Frankly, we want the Marian character to infuse our own character and basically to begin to grow and develop there until we have the same interior disposition of heart, attitude, as Our Blessed Lady. All right. So that's what we mean by the scapular. The other aspect of it is that the scapular is also a powerful means of tremendous protection against the powers and principalities of the rulers of this present day of darkness, right? It's a mighty, mighty protection against the evil machinations of the devil. And so we wear this as a protection as well. And when he sees that scapular, he runs. You know, he doesn't like Our Lady because Our Lady is his queen. Remember, she's queen of the angels. And by this, I mean that I have never read anywhere where it says that she's only queen of the heavenly hosts. Mary's the queen of all of the angels. The evil one is forced to bow before her. He can't stand it. He cannot stand it. And Our Blessed Lady is the one who smites the head of the serpent. We read that in Genesis 3, verse 15. And whether it's she will crush your head or he will crush your head. It doesn't really matter because Jesus came by way of the fiat of Our Lady. So it's ultimately that obedience and humility of Our Blessed Lady that is the smiter of his head, that crushes his head. It gets him in the head where his pride dwells, right? And it pulverizes him. So he can't stand it. One of the most beautiful, effective prayers that we can pray when we're in spiritual battle is this. O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. So we're making a proclamation with this scapular. And so this means then that we're seeking to live a life according to Our Lady. Now, the unfortunate reality of our day and time, Barbara, is that many of these true gifts of the church, these true treasures of the church that have come to us by way of heaven itself, have been put to the side. And I think it has to do with the psychologizing of our day and time. And a lot of this psychologizing took place in seminaries. So whole groups of men came through seminary, were ordained priests, and really didn't have a basic understanding of these most beautiful of devotions. They were considered to be passé, part of the old times. We had grown beyond these things, right? And I'm going to tell you what I think. I think that's part of the reason why we've got all the problems that we've got in the world today, because we haven't stuck to what heaven itself has given to us. We've put it to the side because we've thought that we've been wiser and smarter. And so I'm not overly surprised that your priest did not know the investiture, right, for the investiture prayers for the scapular. But how good that he was willing nonetheless to do it. How good that he was willing to look it up right there in front of you. To me, that's part of the Marian character. That was an act of humility, wasn't it? I mean, it's to admit, gee, I really don't know, but here, I'll look it up. That's an act of humility. So you want to pray for this dear priest, and you want to pray that even through that action and that Marian reality rising up in him, that this now becomes fertilized by the Holy Spirit and leads to a consecration of his own heart to Our Blessed Lady. That would be a beautiful thing. Now, as for the scary dreams that you're having, that I really can't speak to too much because I don't know the nature of those dreams, and I'm certainly not a psychologist myself, so I can't tell you about them. By the way, there's nothing the matter with psychology, but it has its place, and let me tell you what, it's not there to displace the church and our teachings and our truths that are given to us by way of the church and sacred scripture. So that being said, I can't speak much to that, but I will tell you this. Anytime we make a move towards Our Lady, the evil one is going to get angry. It just is the way it is. And, you know, we put ourselves in her camp, and he knows that we've got her protection. And he knows that if we're faithful to the way in which she leads us, which is always towards her son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that he can't have any way with us, that he's lost a soul for hell, which is really what he wants to do. He wants to populate hell with souls. He can't generate children, and he's not a generator of life. He's a generator of death, and his only hope is to get our soul to become damned so that he can populate his kingdom. The fact of the matter is he knows he doesn't have rule over us. So oftentimes what will happen is he will kick up his hairy little legs there, and he'll start to do a number on us. And maybe this is part of what you're experiencing in your dream state. Maybe part of it is what you're experiencing is this supernatural battle that's raging. This is what I would do. I would seek some spiritual direction on this through a holy priest, and I will suggest that, you know, you take this seriously. Take it to someone who understands spiritual warfare. I don't know where you're located, but you might call your diocese and ask them, do we have a priest who understands deliverance prayer in the diocese? Is there someone you could recommend? If they say no, ask them who's in charge of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, and you might find some help there. So, Barbara, very good question. Thank you. You give me opportunity to talk about one of I think, the true gifts of our church, and one that we all ought to be considering again. Back in the day when I was a little girl, when we made our first Holy Communion, we were invested in the scapular. It was just all part of what went on then. And it's just a shame, a very, very sad shame that we have moved so far away from those beautiful things that we have. So thank you for your call. So where are we now, Jeff?
All right. We have Jim, who is listening on Sirius XM 130. He's in Austin, Texas. Jim, you're on with Johnette.
Hey, Jim, how are you today? Hi, Jim.
There you can't hear me?
There, I hear you now. How are you?
Okay. I'm good now that I'm talking to you. To your last caller, Father Robert DeGrandis is a good resource. DeGrandis.
Yes, and he's
Father
left
Robert
us...
DeGrandis.
Right. He has left us many, many books, and the books that he's left us are very, very helpful. You know, Father DeGrandis has gone on to his eternal reward, Jim. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but I hope you... Go ahead.
So, no, I just want to bring that up. People sometimes don't know. You're in Fargo, North Dakota.
I am.
And I was telling your producer that I have a relationship to Fargo, Grand Forks, and Bismarck.
Oh, do you really?
His story... I do. In 1978, I brought Bob Hope to perform there.
Really?
We did a show in Grand Forks and Fargo, and then we flew off to Pocatello. But the point about me bringing that up is this, and this is for your listeners. This is really strong, because Bob didn't do things like that. There was a muscular dystrophy telethon going on at one of the local TV stations. And Brian and Susan Hayes, I think, were talk show hosts. They were something to do with TV. But anyway, they were the host.
Mm-hmm.
So they requested that Bob come by the studio. And I said no, because we have a tight schedule. On the way back from Grand Forks, he said, call the people, tell them I'll be there at 1 o'clock. Apparently, they'd gotten him to Hope Enterprises, not me. So on the way over, he says, watch closely. You're going to learn something today. This is for your listeners. So when we went into the studio, the guy started talking about Bob Hope. He says, I'm not here for that. I'm not here for the celebrity stuff. He didn't say it that way, but he dismissed all that, right? And then we left the studio. And on the way out, there was a woman with a child in a stroller, probably 18 months old. And he, on a whip, says, ask the mother if I can use the kid. And he'd already presumed I would because he was flying back to the studio. I grabbed the kid, trailed behind him. Put the child next to him, touched his knee to make sure that I wasn't on camera. And then he said, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to somebody. Say hello, honey. So he put the microphone down at this girl's lips for between 4 and 5 minutes. Studio went quiet. Phone stopped ringing. Picked the microphone up. Frankly, ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's all about. And he tossed the microphone there, and we left. Point. This is the point. They were at $28,000. This is 1978, trying to raise money, right? I got a phone call 6 o'clock. They were well over $100,000. Why? Because he showed them what it is, didn't tell them what it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in The Imitation of Christ, Kempis says in the first 2 books, it is better to be seen penitent than to be able to talk about it. And my point about bringing, there's other things I could say, but this is germane and spirit-driven. The point, Jeanette, is this. And given the fact that the Holy Father has laicized a priest, okay, that's, we have significant problems, but we have one salvation factor that we who believe need to demonstrate our faith.
That's right.
Talk less and demonstrate it. And by acting out faith, build, we will have a greater impact than all the words we could ever muster.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you, Jim, that what a fascinating story you share with us today. And I'm happy to say that the Catholic presence is right there in all of those locations here in North Dakota. Real Presence Radio has stations in all of those places. And so the word goes out. And you are so right. The word goes out by communication. The word goes out by action. And I remember the words that Pope Paul VI gave us. He said, people today listen more to teachers than they do to more to witnesses than they do to teachers. He said, if they listen to teachers at all, it is because they are witnesses. And so that is a very good reminder for each of us that it's one thing to talk about the faith. It's a whole other thing to live the faith. And it's another thing to live the faith publicly than it is to live the faith privately. And, you know, I often think to myself, you know, God sees every action. He sees all of the public actions. But what he sees most are our private actions. He sees that. And that's where the rubber meets the road. How are we conducting ourselves when there's no one watching? How are we conducting ourselves and allowing the Holy Spirit to infuse us, imbue us, and move us forward? To what extent, you know, keep holy those moments in our day that we've decided to consecrate to our Lord through private conversation with Him in prayer? You know, these are the things that make the difference. And that's a beautiful story about Bob Hope. He and his wife, you know, were both Catholic supporters in tremendous ways, both, you know, in very public fashion, but also in very private fashion too. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you very, very much. What a remarkable story.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Am I off? Say one more thing.
Yeah.
I think today, and I'm spirit-filled at the moment, I believe, I hope. Today, you're being listened to nationwide, Jeanette. Mm-hmm. So this is one guy talking, and I was with Mother Angelica in 2002, and she said to me, keep doing what you do.
Right.
And Father Miguel, I met Father Miguel. I talked to him the Friday after Thanksgiving of 2015, right before Mother died. Mm-hmm. And I talked to him about how I'd been at some monasteries. He says, you're a spiritual father. I didn't know what that meant exactly. But this is my point, is that we now have an opportunity, a truly golden opportunity in the Catholic faith and in the Christian entity.
Yeah.
To take a hold and change things. This is a wake-up call for us.
We do. And I've got to ask, Jim, I've got to interrupt and ask you to hold here because we're going to a break. And when we come back, friends, more right here on Women of Grace Live. I'm Jeanette Williams, and I'm live with you from Fargo, North Dakota today. Delighted to have this opportunity to have holy conversation together. 833-288-EWTN. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Jeanette Williams.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Women of Grace Live, and I am Jeanette Williams. Absolutely delighted to be with you today. Been telling you, guess where I am? I'm here in Fargo, North Dakota. Absolutely glad to be with all of the good people here. Going to have a beautiful time this evening with Real Presence Radio, inviting you to get out to their website, yourcatholicradiostation.com, to read all about it. If you're in the area, would love for you to stop by. Don't know how that's going to work at this hour, but might as well give a call and see. That's yourcatholicradiostation.com. You know, we're talking with Jim. Is Jim still with us, Jeff?
No, he has dropped off.
Okay, he's dropped off. All right. So he was talking about the fact that we have a golden opportunity right now, and we certainly do have a golden opportunity. And every day and every time, God gives opportunity for his people to proclaim his good news, and it gives people opportunity to come into union with him and to be a sign and a witness in our day and time that leads to him. You know, that's what we're called to be, pointers. We're called to be pointers, pointing in the direction of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And what Jim was saying to us, rather, is very important. He was saying we do that by way of our witness. We do that by living the faith, not just talking about it, but by living it. And so a good question to ask ourselves today is, to what extent am I truly living the faith? Would somebody know by my demeanor, by the way in which I treat others, by the language that I use, by the way in which I interact, by my very presence? Would they begin to suspect that I'm Catholic? Is there something there that speaks to that reality? And that's a good question to ask, because that's exactly who we're supposed to be, these ones who make Jesus Christ present in our world today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having holy conversation with you. Ryan Penny is on the phones. He's looking forward to hearing from you. He is eager to take your call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Well, you told me, Jeff, we've got some...
Jeanette, Jim is back with us.
Oh, he's back. There he is. Okay, there he is. Hi, Jim.
Hello, we got dropped off.
Okay.
prevailing laws where we were going in this, and I'm thinking of it, is that, you know, An Imitation of Christ is another book called The Glories of Divine Grace, written by Monsignor Schieben about 1863 in Germany. It is one of the most powerful books written, and the owner of 10 books gave it to me, Tom Nelson, and like 20 years ago. But in that book, he depicts the grace to such an extent that if you get to the first third of the book, you can never commit a mortal sin again. I mean, it's just impossible. And it's a book that's very potent, I think long forgotten, The Glories of Divine Grace. It's available. But the point of it is, going back to what we're talking about, example, and it's if we allow the Lord to love us and allow it to flow through us in these situations we encounter, they see Him in us. They may not recognize it by name, but they recognize it by demeanor. They recognize it by pathos. And that's the point. And a lot of people run around in a panic, you know, in churches and think, oh, what's going to happen, you know? Just start allowing the Lord to fill you with His love. Open the doors of your soul so that He can pass through you to those people around you. Because that's a piece that ties in with what you've been talking about. In fact, I've watched you for years, and you're always talking about how do we allow God to get through us to others. I mean, you've talked a lot of things, but that's been a gist of a lot of it.
Well, that is the message. Yeah, well, you know, I totally agree with you. The idea is that we want to be a clear channel, if you will. You know, we want to be a conduit. Why is Mary omnipotent with God? Mary is omnipotent with God because Mary is completely conformed to His will. There is nothing in her that is not the God life. She is completely, completely inhabited by the one who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, you know, the Marian character then that I was talking about earlier would be to be likewise, to seek to divest ourselves of everything that would keep us away from Him. And certainly that begins with grave sin and venial sin. And then we work on our weaknesses and our frailties. But it's something more than that as well. I mean, that's part of it. That's the ascetical part of it. That's the purification part of it. But there is something about this whole reality of living in Christ and inviting Him in to take over the territory of our hearts and our souls and our minds and our spirits. And that's the working of grace. That's the divine life. And it is the will of the Father that this be the case. And so to the extent that we do that ascetical struggle, but to the extent that we also let God do the work in us, then to that extent, do we become these clearer channels through which the grace of God can flow more readily? When you look at the lives of the saints, you know, they're held up as examples for us, and in a certain way they're types, really. They're types of you know, all of the good people of a given day and time, and they're held up for us to show us that this is possible. But to the extent that we allow this action to take place within us, to that extent do our prayers become more efficacious, more powerful. People seek the prayers of holy people. People, you know, sought the prayers of Blessed Teresa of Calcutta, now Saint Teresa of Calcutta, sought the prayers of Saint John Paul II, the prayers of Mother Angelica. And every day and time, the saints are known. They're known because they in some way communicate the God life, even if you say more. Even if people don't recognize it, there's an affective communication of that, and people seek their prayers. So if we want to be all powerful with God, then we've got to do the same. We've got to do our part, cooperation with grace through the purgative way, which is always part of the spiritual life, but then also allowing this unity to take place through the working of God in us. So it's a both and, isn't it?
I can say, Jeanette.
Yes.
I was sitting with Mother Angelica for 3 hours in 2002. One of the guys in the audience was one of her benefactors. And she talked in detail about how she built Hansaville and a lot of aspects. But the key thing, she said, is, and this relates to what you just said, what we've been talking about, what we all need to talk about, is allowing the Lord to enter us through love and exit us through being kind, you know? And she said, when we do what God calls us to do, He takes charge of it
That's right.
He will be there with us. If
That's
we
right.
step left or right or front or back, we can get into trouble. And she said the whole thing that a lot of people miss is that we're all called to be Christ-like, right? So
that's right.
The universal message, right? So if we say, Lord, take me and use me, he will. And
right.
when those people irritate us in any given situation, we say, and it's hard, we're human beings, right? It's hard to kind of back off when somebody's aggressing, you know? But to say, Lord, get me through this. And we have to become preachers of habit. Like, we have to know that we should say that. Lord, help me right now.
Well, I think the Holy Spirit and our Blessed Lady prevail to be those ones who inform us and help us to offer everything in union with Christ on the cross. And I think your point is very well taken, Jim. I think the idea here is that once we realize that this process of purification and sanctification only goes one way, it goes by way of the cross. Once we understand that, then we can look at these reversals in life, the irritations that happen day by day, the big struggles that we go through, all of the small contradictions, the tremendous trials and traumas and sorrows and sufferings that God offers to us. We can look at those through different eyes, and we can see that it's part of a glorious mission, that it's the fulfillment of Colossians 1, verse 24, making up in our own flesh what's lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, the church. And we understand that the cross then becomes grace itself. All grace comes by way of the cross. You know, the Marian character, once again, I go back to this, the Marian character, you know, where does Mary go? Mary goes all the way to the cross with her son, doesn't she? And she stands beneath that cross, and she's taken mystically into that cross and experiences his suffering with him, in union with him, in a profound way, as does the beloved disciple who represents us and tells us, it's not impossible for you. It's not impossible because you're doing this not by your own strength. You're doing this by the strength of the woman and her spouse, the Holy Spirit. You know, I really thank you for your insights today. It's been a tremendous confirmation for me personally, and I know it's been very, very helpful for all of our listeners as well, and probably a confirmation for dozens and dozens and maybe thousands of people that are listening right now.
Am I still hearing?
I'm hearing you.
Okay. One last piece, Jeanette, and this just came to me. In meditation a few years ago, my question was, how do I trust that God will be there for me? And it came to me after a long time. Have your listeners draw the word trust, T-R-U-S-T, but the Tau cross, right? So we look on the Tau cross, then the R stands for returning, the U-S stands for us, so it's a small cross at the end of the word trust. So we look at him, he returns us to look at our cross, whichever and whatever it is, and we accept that cross. Now we can trust. And it's all built into one word, T-R-U-S-T.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the thing that it touches me is, because one of the things that gets me is I hear all this panic in the church, right? Stop panicking. The church, God has been taking care of us. We're in trouble, no question about it. But it is that golden opportunity. We have to believe that we can trust that God will be there for us. And Mary will be there for us. And anybody else we need will be there for us when we're meeting adversaries, and they're all over the place,
mm-hmm.
no question about it. But we need to take to heart, and it bothers my soul, it pains my soul that people get in a panic. Oh, my God, what's going to happen to the church? This is a renewal, a real big renewal time,
mm-hmm.
and everybody
I could
should
agree
be
with
thrilled
you
at this opportunity.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more. You know, when such a heavy cross is laid upon the people of God, you know something really great is coming. Because everything good comes by way of the cross. And it's hard to understand that. It's hard to get our heads around that. But when we begin to do what you just recommended, when we begin to trust in that, then we begin to see. You know, we don't begin to see until we begin to trust. We don't begin to understand until we begin to obey. And then clarity comes, and we begin to have that great gift of wisdom prevailing upon us. And I agree with you absolutely. I am not, I think that on a natural level, We're all disgusted by what we've seen, and we should be. But on a spiritual level, you know, there should be a sense of anticipation, a sense of excitement. A holy zeal should be rising up within us because God is bringing something good, and we're all going to have an opportunity to participate in it, if it be God's will. Well, thank you so much. I enjoyed talking with you today, Jim, and we invite all of you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Good words that we've just heard. And, you know, for me, it's a question of, okay, so to what extent do I lay hold of those words and let those good words begin to have action and find shape and form in my life? And I hope you're asking the same question too. Who do we have there, Jeff?
We have Eddie listening in Erie, Pennsylvania on Stations of the Cross. Eddie, you're talking to Johnette.
Good morning, Eddie. How are you?
Good morning, Johnette. And listen, I hadn't talked to you in a long time. I wanted to wish you well with your wedding, and I'm glad it worked for you.
Well, thank you.
And I'm glad it's great. Yes, because you and I both didn't figure we would get married. Not after that past that you talked about. But, yeah, you've been talking very good today, as usual. Everything is just right on.
And well, thank you.
And I wasn't raised Catholic, and actually I was raised nothing, basically. I was told I was Protestant, but that's just the way they were. But you know, managed to become Catholic, and you became, you know, and you got the word, and then now you're passing it on. And how's Dakota? Cold?
Dakota is cold, and just a little correction, I was born and raised Catholic, but I fell away from the faith for about 10 years, didn't practice any faith. I just thought I had all the answers. You know how that goes when you're young and very, very foolish. And through the grace of God, I came back to the faith many, many years ago, renewed, invigorated, and through the grace of God, absolutely in love with all that he's given to us through Holy Mother Church.
Well, the price he paid that none of us could really pay, huh?
No, that's exactly true. But sometimes the advice is to take a portion of that cross, Eddie.
That's hard
for us. Yeah. So, okay.
I'm glad your wedding's great for you.
And, well, you know, thank you. And you it was good. Beautiful.
And everything you say is very encouraging to people. I just wish they would. We had had EWTN when we were growing up, you know.
Yes.
Whether we listened, I don't know, but, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, I do believe this. I believe that in every day and time, God gives us what it is that we need. And the inspiration for and the development of Women of Grace, of EWTN came from the Holy Spirit. And Mother Angelica, like our Blessed Lady, gave fiat, and we have what we have today. And this, I think, is a prime example of what we were talking about earlier, that God desires a yes from us, but it's not just, you know, an ordinary yes like we would give to, yeah, I'd love to have a cup of coffee, thank you. It's a yes of our whole being. It's a total consecration of self for that which he desires. And when we give that, tremendous and marvelous things happen. And so I always recommend that the best way to do that is through consecration to Jesus through Mary. I don't know of another way, and I don't know of a more efficacious way. Basically, God sent his son, as we read in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent his son born of a woman, and that woman was Our Lady, specifically chosen by God for that moment, as we read in Genesis 3:15. And so the fact of the matter is, it seems to me that if we are going to come into the fullness of the one to whom she gave birth, we're going to do it by way of her. So you know that, and I think that all of us need to consider this consecration if we haven't done it already. We need to get about the business, because it is the way for this moment in time, as far as I'm concerned.
Second millennial, are we?
Pardon me?
Third millennial. We're in the third millennial, Johnette.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Yep. I think so, right? This is...
We're waiting for...
Go ahead.
Revelation. That looks pretty stark when you think about it, when you see the seven angels.
Well, it's true. And, you know, the interesting thing about that, Eddie, is that we could probably look at every era in history and say that it was ripe, R-I-P-E, for the coming of Antichrist. And, you know, I remember interviewing a holy priest who talked about Father Joseph Esper, and he was talking about there were types of Antichrist in every day and time, you know, ones who had characteristics that could be akin to Antichrist. And he wrote a book about that, and he went through and he pointed out who these people would actually were, in his estimation, that were types of Antichrist. And we see types of Antichrist and activity of Antichrist in our day and time. Antichrist hasn't come yet. We know that because all of the prescriptives that are necessary for that to happen haven't happened yet. But what we also know is that we have our own testing that goes on as a result of all of that. And we need to be consecrated so that we are useful to the master of the house. I'm looking at something in 2 Timothy, everybody, and it is in chapter 2 of Timothy. And it says, if anyone purifies himself from what is ignoble, then he will be a vessel for noble use, consecrated and useful to the master of the house, ready for any good work. And so God is calling us into, you know, into this type of consecration that helps for us to live according to the way in which he would have us live. The verse that precedes that says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earthenware, and some for noble use, some for ignoble. And so the idea being that if we make a decision for Christ, we have this opportunity to be used by him in ways that defy explanation in the natural. We become, as Jim was talking about, these purveyors of grace. We become the God life in action in our day and time because he inhabits us. And where we go, you know, where he sends us, he is made manifest. I'm thinking of the second joyful mystery. Today's Monday, so we pray the joyful mysteries, the visitation. Here's a prime example. Mary makes Jesus Christ manifest in the house of Elizabeth and Zechariah. Certainly he is in utero, but he's newly in utero. He is hidden in utero, but she is so full of the presence of the one whom she carries in her womb. She is so conformed to the will of the Father. She is so conformed to the seed who is in her that she displays him. And what happens? Salvation happens. So when we move and allow this Marian character to grow in us, and we move in that Marian character, the same thing is meant to happen. It is not impossible. I remember years ago being in Rome and seeing Pope John Paul II come out in his Pope Mobile. And as soon as he came out in that Pope Mobile, there was something in the atmosphere that changed. And everyone was blessed by it. And that's what a holy person does. The atmosphere changes. Holiness comes. You know, it's inhabited by all of the angelic hosts. Heaven arrives, not because of the person, but because of the one who is in the person. Conversely, it happens too. The atmosphere can be charged with evil. We've all experienced that, I'm sure, because there's an evil presence in the room, possibly coming through someone, certainly possibly coming through activity that's going on there. But the point is, when we live that truth and we let that truth live in us, great things happen. So as Jim says, no reason to fear, no reason to fear. Well, Eddie, it's been nice catching up with you today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and here's to you in North Dakota, and Happy New Year, and we're coming into Lent. We should be at peace.
We should be. That's right. We've got good opportunity, right, to cooperate with grace through that purgative way as we move into Lent. So thanks for your call, good man.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Janet.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. Oh my goodness, you know, it's true. If all we do is hear the word and we do not act upon it, we are deceiving ourselves, says St. James, right? In sacred scripture. We don't want to be deceivers of ourselves. My goodness sakes, there's enough voices out there seeking to deceive us. We don't need to add our own voice to the milieu of things that are seeking to take us away from the Lord. We need to be purveyors of truth, and we need to be preaching to ourselves. You know, each and every day, preach to ourselves, giving ourselves a good talking to through the presence of Christ with us. Who else do we have there, Jeff?
Well, it's almost the end, but I'm going to run by you real quick.
Okay.
On text, Monica wants to know how long she has to wait for her adult children to get to know the man that she has been dating for 18 months. Her husband died 3 years ago.
All right, so this is what I would say. You wait until you know that this is the man that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, or that you're getting very close to that. Otherwise, it can be more destructive than helpful to the children. It's been great being with all of you today. We're down to the wire here. Jonette Williams saying goodbye from Fargo, North Dakota, Real Presence Radio. Woohoo!